Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
All right. Y'all can hear me okay? Yep. awesome. Hey, it's great to see everyone this morning. If you're watching online, welcome. We're glad that you're a part of the service as well. We got a full parking lot this morning. What a beautiful day, huh? It's a great day. And I see some of you got your windows open, just enjoying the weather. This morning, I'm starting a new message series called Believe. It's the truth behind lies. And so I want to jump right into the message if we can. And there's a passage of scripture in John chapter 18. It's a story. Basically, it's kind of the end. Hey, Deb, how you doing? It's the end of Jesus's ministry and really about to be the end of his earthly life. But he's on trial before Pontius Pilate. He's been arrested by the Jewish leaders, and he's on trial before Pontius Pilate. And there's this conversation that's going on between Jesus and Pilate. And it goes like this in John chapter 18, verse 33. It says, Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" Verse 35, "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied, "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it that you've done?" He's trying to get to the bottom of, you know, like, what's your deal? What's going on? Why do they hate you? Verse 36, Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You're right in saying that I'm a king. In fact, for this reason, I was born, and for this, I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Verse 38, "What is truth?" Pilate asked. And with this, he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him." This passage has been quoted so many times, and the words of Pontius Pilate have been quoted so many times, and I think this is what I want to use as kind of a springboard for our conversation, because it's still a question that is being asked by everyone, maybe not consciously, but subconsciously. It's, what is truth? What is truth? We're all asking, what is truth? I mean, some people come right out and ask it, but what is truth? Winston Churchill says that truth is the most valuable thing in the world. It's so valuable that it's often covered by a bodyguard of lies. Mark Twain said, a lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is putting on its shoes. So what is truth? Jesus said, "I came to testify to the truth." It's obvious that truth is still under attacks. Truth is on trial still. It's been on trial from the very beginning, and we'll look at that, where this whole lie, where it all started in Genesis chapter 3. We'll look at that later on in the series. But it's been on trial from the very beginning. Truth is on trial, and Jesus said, "I came to testify to the truth." Don't you think that truth is important? If Jesus came for this purpose, he said, "For this reason, I've come to testify to the truth." So truth is super important. Now, because truth is on trial and we're confused about truth and we're still kind of asking what is truth, you know, there's in our culture, there's the big thing is, you know, you're basically, you find your own truth. You know, this is my truth about something. And so for some reason, there's this concept and idea that truth is kind of open to whatever you want it to be. And we kind of shape it and mold it into whatever situations that we need it to be. Jesus said over 75 times, "I tell you the truth." And over 25 times he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you. Truth is really important to all of us. And we're going to look at how important it is. But it is super important to every one of us. See, truth will determine who you marry. It'll determine and it'll alter everything in your daily life. Truth changes everything. Truth will determine how you raise your kids, where you live, what you spend your money on, what you do. Truth will determine those things. And so, I don't know, would you agree with me that truth is important? Would you agree with that? I hope so. Truth is super important to all of us. And so in order for truth has to be something, though, that corresponds with reality. So if we can get a little philosophical here, truth is it has to correspond with reality. There's something that is real, right? I mean, it's true. It's true that you are sitting in a parking lot or you're sitting in front of some kind of electronic device watching a service. It's true because it's corresponding with a reality. Now, a lot of times we try to manipulate the truth and we try to, you know, make it something that's not real. And I want to say to you this morning that truth is our anchor. It anchors us to reality. It has to be something that corresponds with reality. See, truth tells what reality is, right? Not what you choose to make it to be. Unfortunately, that's where we get into some gray area. See, truth is something that is not a matter of my opinion or your opinion, but it's something you put forward as fact that can be verified. That's truth. Truth's not up to the beholder. It's outside of ourselves. It's not something that we intrinsically have. It's a reality that's outside of ourselves. It's not something that we can make up on our own or how we feel in the moment. See, truth conforms to reality, not the other way around. Truth is basically telling it like it is. Now, some of you have the gift of telling it like it is, right? If you got the gift, go ahead and honk your horn. But truth... Some of you really got the gift. But truth is telling it, it's reality. This is how it is. This is what it is. And sometimes we get into the, like we said, that gray area. Truth is not our version of reality or our opinion or our preferred perspective. It is reality. Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul goes into talking about spiritual warfare and in that process of Ephesians 6, talking about the spiritual battle that we're in, he talks about how we are able to defeat the enemy. And he goes into saying how we have to put on the full armor of God. And the first thing that he talks about in that armor is verse 14. He says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." Now, it's interesting about the belt of truth. You know, most of us wear a belt for the purposes of just, you know, looks, to complete the outfit. It's kind of an accessory. Others may wear a belt to hold your pants up, hopefully, you know, but with the armor, with a Roman soldier, the belt actually held his offensive weapons and part of his armor. And it was such an important part of his armor. It was the most important part. And that was the first thing that he would put on. And so Paul's telling us, as believers, as followers in Jesus, as folks who are in a spiritual battle and we're dealing with the enemy, he's saying, listen, I want you to, this is important. You've got to put on the belt of truth. Buckle it around your waist. See, truth is what holds it all together. Truth is vital. It's important for our walk with the Lord, also our defense against the enemy and our offense against the enemy. I believe truth is the anchor to our reality. Truth is our ankle. Yeah, truth is our anchor to reality. See, we can drift if we're not careful. We can drift morally. We can drift spiritually without truth. It happens. It happens to all of us. It happened in the garden long ago. It still happens to us today. Without truth, without a solid truth, and without that truth anchoring us and holding us down, we drift morally. It's easy for us to to, at some point in our life, to start compromising and to start doing some things that you would never dream you would do, right? We've all been there. We've all been in that part and that time in our life where you just start to creep a little bit and you creep a little bit more. It's interesting that it doesn't just happen on its own. It's a matter of what we start believing, of what we start saying. It's a matter of the truth that we compromise and we start moving those boundaries and we drift morally. And if we're not careful, without truth being our anchor, we also drift spiritually. And we can get into things and thinking of our religions and all these ways of thinking things that are not correct, that are far away from the truth. We drift without that anchor. God provided for us a solid anchor, and that's truth. And we see it in the person of Jesus. Now, if you have downloaded the app, you can go on, you can scroll down, you can see all these verses. There's a lot of verses, but I want to look at some because it's important for us to anchor what we're talking about in God's word. Jesus said in John chapter 14, this is so important. He says, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I mean, listen to the words that he said. I'm the way. He didn't say, hey, I'll show you the way. He's not another religious leader. He's not another good moral man or spiritual person that just through, you know, in life is pointing people, you know, where others have said, let me show you the way. Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the way. I'm not going to just show you the way. I am the way. And he said, I'm the truth. I'm not just going to tell you the truth. I'm not going to just talk about the truth. But he says, I am the truth. In person, personified, I am the truth. And I'm the life. And to tie the bow around that whole statement that he's making, he says, no one comes to the Father but through me. He's the only way to the Father. He's the only doorway to heaven. That's pretty exclusive, right? I mean, that's a pretty bold statement that Jesus made, but it's so important for us to understand. Either it's true or it's untrue, right? If we believe it to be true, then we conform to it instead of it conforming to what we want. And so John chapter 1 verse 17 says, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 8:32 says, you will know the truth, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, truth sets us free. We'll talk about that later on in the series, but we've been taken captive by lies, and truth is what sets us free. When we know the truth, then the truth will set us free. John 17:17 says, sanctify them. This is a prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples, for all of us. He says, sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. See, truth is that anchor in our lives. It holds us down. It keeps us grounded in reality. We have a tendency to drift. We have a tendency to drift morally and spiritually. And if we don't have our anchor in truth, if we don't have our anchor in Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about just believing in Jesus. We've got enough of that. We've got enough of people that are saying, yeah, I'm on team Jesus. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Got my Jesus t-shirt, got my Jesus bumper sticker. Yeah, Jesus. I'm not talking about believing in Jesus. I'm talking about having our life rooted and grounded in him, having our hearts submitted to his lordship, trusting him. It's walking in that truth, keeping ourselves anchored, because if we don't, we drift morally. It's easy, it's subtle, and the enemy's still working on us. He's still trying to get us to drift. And so Jesus, we see, he personifies truth. I'm the truth, I'm the way, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And we see also the work of the Holy Spirit. So it's what Jesus has done for us. It's our relationship with him. It's having our hearts submitted to him, but it's also the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking of the Holy Spirit, and he says in verse 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." See, the work of the Holy Spirit when it comes to truth is to lead us into all truth. He's the Spirit of truth. John chapter 16, verse 13, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." See, the work of the Holy Spirit in our life leads us into all truth. Our having our hearts submitted under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, trusting what he's done, knowing that what he says, this is truth, this is what we can stand firm on and anchor our lives to, and allowing the Holy Spirit to work inside of our hearts and lives. Such an important part of our relationship with Jesus. I don't think we talk enough about the work of the Holy Spirit, but can I just remind you that the Holy Spirit wants to be actively involved in your life, in your relationship with God. He wants to guide you and lead you into all truth. Now, you may feel like, hey, I don't know a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. I don't know a lot about the presence of God, but he wants to lead you and guide you if you'll allow him to. We open our hearts to him. We let him have his way, right? See, truth is the anchor. It's our anchor to reality. Not only do we need to have our hearts surrendered to Jesus, but we also need to have our hearts open to the working of the Holy Spirit. In just a moment, we're gonna pray. We're gonna ask God to do some things in our lives. And maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you're watching online, and your life isn't submitted to Jesus. You believe in Jesus, and it's great. That's great. That's the first step, right? But your heart isn't submitted to him. It's not anchored in him. You'll have an opportunity to do that, to begin that relationship, to anchor your relationship, anchor your heart in him. But also this morning, I want us to pray that the Holy Spirit would just fill us, right? To fill us and to lead us into all truth. See, like I said, truth is so important. It affects every area of our life. Some of you are facing some decisions. You've got some decisions to make, and it's like you're rolling the dice. It's like, what am I gonna get? You don't have to do that. See, the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. He gives us insight. God provides spiritual gifts that help us. There's discernment. There's knowledge. There's things that God gives us through the working of his Holy Spirit if we'll open our hearts to it. See, truth is the anchor to reality. There's a Psalm 51 is a psalm that was basically a prayer of David. After David had been caught in adultery, not only did he commit adultery with Bathsheba, some of you remember that story. Not only did he commit adultery with Bathsheba, but he also had Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, killed. And so he's got a long list of sins. He's got a long list of stuff that he's guilty of. And the prophet Nathan confronts him about his sin. And in that, he had a choice to make. He could turn away from his sin, or he could continue in it and continue to cover. When you commit adultery and you get a woman pregnant, and you have her husband killed, you know, you've got a lot of lies that you've created. You've got a long list of them, right? I mean, you've had to make up a lot of stuff. And so at this point, David's got a lot of lies that he's working to reinforce. You know how that is in our lives, how we lie about something and we got to kind of prop it up, right? You know, like, you know, make sure that it's okay. And when something comes out, we got to make sure we're over here fixing the foundations of all the lies that we come. How many of you know that that'll wear you out? But yet we spend a lot of time and a lot of energy. I think honestly, this is not proven necessarily, but I think a lot of our mental illness that we are dealing with in our world today is because we have spent so much time trying to cover up the lies that we have, and some of them are stupid, right? You ever met somebody who they lie about things that are just like, that's stupid. Why would you even lie about that? It's not even worth lying about, but they're out of touch with reality. And that's what I'm talking about. We drift without truth being our anchor. We drift morally. We drift spiritually. But I've met people who, man, they're going crazy trying to keep their lies from being exposed. Maybe you're in that boat. You say, hey, I'm a Christian, but I got a lot of lies I'm still propping up. Can I tell you, it's time to let them go. It's time to let truth be your anchor. It's time to come clean. And see, here's David. David had a long list of lies. I mean, he had a lot of stuff going on. And God speaks through this man, Nathan. He's called a prophet. P-R-O-P-H-E-T. And he's a mouthpiece for God. God speaks to him and says, you need to confront David. This is what's happened. And so Nathan goes to David, tells him a story, gets David to react, and David reacts. And then he says, you're the guy, David. You're the man. You've done exactly what you said you want to punish. And it's, you ever had those moments where you've been exposed, right? Where you got caught and you're like, oh crap. You can't even dig your way out. You know, you're up against the wall. And this was one of those moments for David. Now David could have, because he had all the authority and the power as a king, he could have had Nathan killed. He could have had the situation. You know, he could have created more stuff that he had to lie about. Where'd Nathan go? He's on vacation. He's not coming back. He's moved away. He doesn't like Israel anymore. You know, he could have made up all kinds of stuff, but he didn't. In that moment, when he was confronted by truth, it's amazing what truth will do. Truth exposes us, right? And when he got exposed by the truth, he had a decision to make, and he chose to repent. He chose to turn away from his sin. He chose to come clean with God and with man. And because of it, the Lord restored his kingdom. Because of it, God continued to bless David. As a matter of fact, after David was already gone, dead, God said this about David. He said, David was a man after my own heart. What? A man after your own heart. But he committed adultery and got her pregnant and had Uriah killed and all this. He said, David was a man after my own heart. David turned. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what lies you've been building and trying to hold up. And you come clean and God says, you're a man after my own heart. You're a woman after my own heart. There's something about that integrity and that vulnerability and that willingness to just expose ourselves before the Lord. But here's David. He repents. Psalm 51, he writes this prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. Read it sometimes, but I just want to read just a few verses. And he said, behold, verse 5 and 6, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in the hidden part, excuse me, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Verse 6, behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. I love that. David realizes something. He's realizing it because he encountered truth. He got exposed by truth. And he says, God, what you're really wanting, what you're really wanting in our lives is you want truth in the inward parts. You want truth to just permeate us and to be inside of our hearts and for what we do to flow out of that. Even sometimes if it's hard, because truth can be hard, right? Sometimes we overextend ourselves or overpromise ourselves or we do things and we get ourselves into a jam and it's easy to want to lie. And God says to David, I just want truth in your inward parts. I want truth in your heart. I want truth to be such a part of you that when you get into those situations, as tough as they might seem, as sheepish as you might feel and maybe a little awkward and you just got to, you know, hey, I messed up. I messed up and this is the situation and I need you to forgive me. God says, I just want that in your inward parts. See, you desire truth in our inward parts. You desire truth. That's what he wants. He wants truth in our inward parts. Now, is it us coming up with our own truth? Is it us? No, we've already resolved that. It's not our version of the truth. It's not what we want it to be true. Truth in our inward parts starts with a relationship with Jesus. It starts with submitting our hearts and the control of our lives to him. It also happens as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us. As we allow the Holy Spirit to work inside of our hearts, he leads us, he guides us into all truth. See, without it, here's the reality. We all know this, right? Let's not play church this morning. We all know this, that without truth, we wander. We wander morally. We start to do things that we didn't used to do. We wander spiritually. We start to water down things. And all of a sudden now, you know, anything's okay, right? We just kind of make it up. We ignore what God's word says and we just make it up as we go. See, without truth being our anchor, we wander. And God says, I just want truth in your inward parts. I just want truth inside of your heart. I want truth to guide you, to hold you down, to keep you solid in life. I don't know anybody that starts out in life hoping they'll drift away from where they are. Nobody wants to drift morally. Nobody wants to drift spiritually. But yeah, I've watched people, you know, I've lived life long enough. I've watched pastors drift spiritually. I've watched people, good people, drift morally. See, anchor or truth anchors us down. It holds us in place. So this morning, let's surrender ourselves to Jesus. You say, you know, I believe in Jesus. I know Jesus. I got this. Let's surrender our lives to Jesus. Surrender our hearts to him. And maybe there's some things in your life. Maybe you've got something you've been propping up. Maybe you've been trying to, you know, to keep this thing working, kind of like the Wizard of Oz. You know, you're behind the scenes and you're cranking it and you're trying because you have this image that you want people to see you as, and you're working hard to maintain that. How's that working for you, first of all? I know it's not working for you. I know it doesn't work because I've tried it before. And what I've found in life is that if I will just come clean, if I will just open my heart and just say, God, I just want truth in the inward parts. I want truth to flow from my life. I don't want to walk in lies. I don't want to walk in deception. There's a freedom that comes. Can we submit our hearts to Jesus? Can we do that right now? Let's do this together. Just a fresh new commitment and surrender to the Lord. Father, We surrender ourselves to you wherever we are, in the parking lot, in front of our computers. We surrender ourselves, our hearts to Jesus. You're the way, you're the truth, you're the life. And Lord, what you say goes. Not our version, not our opinions, but your truth. And so we surrender to you. And God, those things that we're holding and propping up and trying to maintain, we surrender them to you. We give them to you. In Jesus' name. Can we do one more thing? See, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is so important. He wants to guide us and lead us into all truth. Would you open your heart to him? Would you ask him to just fill you today? Fill you with his presence, his spirit. Would you do that? God, we ask you right now to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us to overflowing. Lead us, guide us into all truth. God, we want to be anchored in you. We don't want to drift morally. We don't want to drift spiritually. But we want to be anchored in truth. So, Lord, just fill us. And along with that filling of your Holy Spirit, would you just pour out your gifts on your people? That we would operate in those and be comfortable with those gifts. Can we worship the Lord again? One more time, can we worship him? And can we just allow the word that you received this morning, allow the words that have been spoken, allow them just to sink into our hearts? I've been, just the last year or so, something the Lord just keeps driving into my heart is don't be a hearer of the word only, be a doer of the word. And so you hear me talk a lot about taking a next step. What's your next step? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Some of you may already have thought of some things, man, that I've been living a lie. Your next step may be to come clean. But what are you gonna do with God's word? Let's worship him together.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.